Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're all doing well on Terrible Tuesday. Inside the Gamecocks up at 10 o'clock. Mike Morgan, Preston Thorne, myself, Mad Dog, Jamie Bradford, all in at some point throughout that show. Mad Dog and I, with what you have come to know as Inside the Gamecocks, the show, in the third hour, kind of a combo hour, the second hour, and then the first hour, I believe Preston's in and Mike and JB. So they'll continue to talk Gamecock sports and Gamecock football as we are 39 days from kickoff. I know because I have the Carolina Countdown article today on thebigspur.com. Check that out, thebigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com. It's on 3 and Rivals, your hub for South Carolina football coverage this season. Four Gamecock football insiders. The message board is very active these days. The Insiders Forum, it's been around for a long time. And then Brian Shoemaker and his team at Gamecock Central have your game coverage, your photos, everything you want. Practice starts soon, folks, so go sign up. You can get a 5-day free trial for $1. And then if you stick with us and want to pay annually, you get it for a half off the whole year. So for now, between now and next fall camp, and a lot will go on. I mean, think about all the news and the scoop and the searches, one search in particular that could happen in basketball. I don't want to go down the road about a football, potential football search right now. It's just not the time to do that. $5 a month, you can't beat it. And you get on 3 Rivals. Rivals does the best job of, if you're into recruiting, of covering recruiting nationally. Our insiders there, Chad Simmons, Steve Wiltfong, Charles Power, they're all, I mean, Power does all the rankings and he's all over the state of South Carolina. He's a Myrtle Beach native. Chad Simmons is always on our message board. Steve Wiltfong is always on our message board. Whenever there's something about South Carolina Gamecock recruiting, you got myself, you got Chris Clark, you got Wes Mitchell, you got Jamie Bradford, Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock, is all into the analytics, folks. This is it's different than what we normally do on a site, which is normally like scoop and inside info, and then analysis, opinion, interviews, things like that. This is the real data. And he takes the data, he crunches it, he presents it. There's no opinion in it. He talks about where the data may lead. But I know, these days, everybody's got an opinion. And sometimes people, get mad about that. And sometimes I think opinions are stupid. One in particular yesterday on X, which we'll probably talk about on the show today. From a person that normally has the worst takes in college football, at the various multiple outlets he's worked for through the years, I mean, it's just horrible. I don't know why people give this guy a platform, but because his work sucks. I mean, just quite frankly. And so the suckage seeped into Gamecockville yesterday. There's a terrible article written about Beamer getting fired, and you coach at South Carolina to get fired. That's fact-free. Nobody's been fired at South Carolina except Will Muschamp since this century, okay? If anything, the fan base complains they don't fire quickly enough, right? And the point that made some points about the history of the program, that's fair, because until you do it, you've never done it, and that's just how it is in college sports. And I think it's fair to talk about. Beamer's on the hot seat. There's nobody else in the SEC to be on the hot seat. Somebody's got to be at top of the hot seat list, right? You got to have a hot seat list. The score, I talked about the A&M game. He didn't have the score right. Talked about Beamer being a king of dad jokes. Of course, his day messed it up, day jokes. And you guys that aren't on X won't know what I'm talking about, so I'll shut up about it. But when you come at something, in my opinion, you better have facts and you better have a knowledge of the subject matter. Because, one thing, when I was in newspapers long ago, I had a great editor named Mickey Johnson. It's a Marshall fan. He talked like this. He's a Vietnam vet and really good guy. Learned a lot about journalism from him. And I don't call myself a journalist anymore because of the way that word has been, or that label seems to be like an excuse to just spew vomit on the internet. You know, I'm a journalist. I'm protected. Protected more than anyone else, right? You know, I don't know, but I don't call myself. But I learned a lot about journalism from him and column writing. He's a very good columnist, and he said, you know, you can have an opinion, but just be fair and have facts. You know, and I think that's what gets lost is nobody these days wants to ask, is this really fair based on the facts? You know, and instead of just spewing things out to get engagement and all that. But anyway, that blew up yesterday, the hot takery. So, you know, anyway, these days, I guess I was just kind of hyping the website there and got off track. But anyway, just wanted to get into that a little bit and just kind of tease that for the show later today. I'll shut up. I don't want to, you know, I have some things to say about it, and I'll get into that on the show. But anyway, want to talk about actual football because again, like some of these people that have these hot takes on South Carolina, like you can tell. Okay, the people that have these dumb takes on the Gamecocks this year that are extreme one way or the other can't name five people on the roster. And if they can name the names, they don't even know what player, you know, they don't know about any of these guys, you know, and because it's just they don't care to know. I mean, a lot of these guys were big time recruits. I mean, you know, what's the difference if they sign with South Carolina, sign with Florida, you know? But, you know, which by the way, South Carolina's won a whole lot more than Florida the last few years. But it's one of those things where the people that are really unfair this offseason, they don't know anything about the players. But the people that are fair, and look, some of them are like, yeah, win eight or whatever. That's fine. You know, seven or eight can win seven or eight. Okay, good. That's good. But you know what? Those people that say that, they're not just going through going, oh, well, you know, they'll lose to all these teams. Lenore Sellers, they'll lose, and then they'll lose to all these teams. It's not that. It's they actually know that there's players on the roster. And I'm talking about like Cousin Shane and David Pollock and Josh Pate. And they're not expecting championships or they're kind of, well, maybe they could turn it around from 4-8, but they're fair, you know? And look, maybe if you don't like the talent on the roster, if you were to say, well, South Carolina's got a lot of good recruits, but they just don't play well and don't win, brother, that's fair. But be fair. Anyway. What may not have been fair is one of the hot takes I've had. Not hot takes, but analysis, I guess you could call it, I've had over the summer. So, you know, when you look at the depth chart, and we talk depth chart all the time because it's 353 days of no games. And the large portion of the conversation that all of you want to talk about, and we talk about with college football, is personnel related. Either coaches, players, support staff's really big now, uniforms. Are not part of personnel, but excuse me, goodness gracious. Wow, that's a first. Had a Diet Pepsi this morning. I'm like, oh, well. But no, it's uniforms, obviously, are discussion. There's other discussions we have, historical discussions, but personnel is kind of where it's at. So when you look at the corners and the safeties and the losses from last year's team, because in college football, we always look like who'd you lose? Who'd you replace them with? What's the situation now? Which is baffling to me, going back to the previous topic, because everybody seems to want to base predictions for this year on last year. Okay. You know, I guess you have to use it. But anyway, so I've been talking about depth at corner, and that could be a problem area. I think everybody feels really good about Vakari Swain and Judge Collier, two veteran guys. They were both here in 2023, 2024, and 2025. Vakari redshirted, obviously, the first year. Judge played. Judge started. Vaccaro was the third corner in 24, really had some great moments. Last year, both started. Judge got hurt, obviously. Brandon Cisse slid out there. So these guys are veterans, and they're both at different points have been very impressive. Vaccaro's more known as a punt returner, obviously, for what he did at the beginning of last season. And, he didn't break one down the stretch after the South Carolina State game, but he's still, still a dangerous guy back there. So everybody knows him as that. But I think like A&M game on A&M game in particular in the first half, I love Akari Swain played as well at corner as I've seen him play. And it's, he hasn't been perfect back there. I think a lot is, if there's a position that's a little similar to the offensive line, it's the corner, if unless you make an interception, and they love that, everybody loves that, or and unless you're getting torched, sometimes people don't talk about you, I mean, nobody's like, hey, this guy, he kept blowing up the bubble screen. Yeah, I remember Sheldon Brown used to blow up the bubble screen when people try it. I love that. And Jonathan Joseph, guys like that. I love hard-hitting corners because teams will stop attacking the perimeter. No, nobody talks about corners a lot unless you're doing something spectacular. But, people talk about it in general, like the pass defense or whatever. And look, it's nowhere near the offensive line. I think you still got a lot of glory at cornerback. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. But yeah, it's kind of, one of those positions where you don't want negative attention, but you're going to get it because you're going to get beat. I mean, any great corner will tell you that you have to have a short memory, and you do, because things can snowball on you in a heartbeat back there. Because you got to play a certain technique. It's hard. You got to backpedal, all this stuff. You're at a disadvantage. But I thought Vaccaro at corner at A&M played very, very well. I mean, he's all over the place, had a pick. This guy, there's a reason they wanted him at corner instead of receiver because, there was some, he could have played receiver. And I think we're seeing that. And then Judge heading, had a really good 2024. And then heading into last season, there was a lot of buzz about him and all that. Then unfortunately, he had the injury against Virginia Tech that kind of set him back. Yeah, you listen to him talk. He knows he didn't play as good as he could down the stretch last year. And so those are your two starters, as far as, anybody can tell. I'd be shocked if they weren't. So after that, where do you go? And Carolina lost Brandon Cisse and then Jalen Kilgore, who is the nickel. We'll talk about that in a second. Both were draft picks. So you lost two draft picks out of the secondary. So how do you replace them? Well, they didn't really go portal. They went with Quasheed Scott. He was their one portal guy that joined the secondary from Kentucky. Marion native, same school as TJ Sanders, really good player, is playing nickel, could play corner in a pinch. So you start diving into it, and it's like, well, if somebody does go down, maybe you play Quasheed, and that could still happen. Although it wasn't something that they did a whole lot of in the spring, from what I could tell. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But so you ask around about it. Well, what's going to happen? It's very young and inexperienced back there. And the feedback is, I mean, and I know that it's probably still a concern. I think Shane Beamer's even mentioned depth in the secondary. But they're really happy and excited about these freshmen. And at DB, I've seen, freshmen come in and play quite well. I talked about it on the depth chart or the starters episode yesterday. That when Sheldon Brown, speaking of Brown and Andre Goodman, were the two stud corners the Gamecocks had behind them in 2000, there were a bunch of like Rasheem Monroe, Dante Robinson, and DeAndre Allen was back there at safety. I mean, it was not a deep group at all. and was one of the best secondaries in the history of Carolina football. So, I don't necessarily know that you have to have it to be successful, but you got to kind of stay fortunate at corner. And you want to go to the 2001 season, go to the 2001 Outback Bowl when I think Goodman went out with an injury and his backup came in, and Steve Belisari from Ohio State. It was 28-0 Gamecocks, and he kept passing, and the Ohio State band kept playing their fights. So like for 2 years in the Outback Bowl, you didn't, because the colors in that stadium kind of blended. They're scarlet and gray. The Gamecock, and they don't emphasize the gray. Gamecocks garnet and black. The seats are red, so it's kind of and both those Outback Bowls in 2000, 2001 were packed. I mean, they were sold out. You didn't hear from Ohio State for like six quarters over 2 years. Saw them walking in, saw them walking out. Well, in the second half, you found out their band came, what they call it, the best damn band in the land. And it was like they started playing their fight song seven, like Waffle House hash brown style, 17 different ways. Just the timpanis, boom, ba boom, ba boom, 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 boom. And Belisari picked on that backup corner and they tied it. Lucky enough for the Gamecock, Sheldon Brown intercepted him at the end. They got back enough to kick a field goal by Daniel Weaver from North Myrtle Beach, and the Gamecocks won it under Lou Holtz, 31-28. But having back last year when some backup corners came in the game, some teams picked on one in particular. So you have to, you do need it, and it can hurt you. But they're really excited about these freshman DBs. And the two that are going to play corner, Kazi Barnes and Tristan Lewis, both. And this may be a little, Tristan Lewis was a complete surprise. I mean, they took Tristan Lewis. I think they beat Mars Hill on him out of Greenwood. People around Greenwood were saying, yeah, he's a baller. I was thinking more like long term because he's a high school quarterback, whatever. But the physicality and the size that he brings, and his ability and his competitiveness, from what I heard, really stood out. He stood out in the scrimmages. He's like, wow, this guy's good. So Torian Gray found him one there. And it was funny because that, like I've said before, they went and got him like right after Tamarian Watkins went to A&M. So I'm curious. I'll be curious to follow those two careers. And hopefully, if we're all being honest, and Watkins, could still become a South Carolina Gamecock someday. There is a transfer portal still, but because I love Watkins, Watkins, I thought he was a beast, big versatile guy, but Lewis at corner, is gonna probably fight for a spot in the 2D, and then Kazi Barnes was a guy Carolina got in on early out of Greensboro Grimsley. Taller, lankier guy. And like a lot of these players in the 2026 class, one trend that kind of ties a lot of them together, they all got better and better as high school went on. Like Julian Walker, everybody knew he's D1 guy, but he got better and better. Jazavian Currence was a known entity, committed really early, was on the radar as a ninth grader. Best at the end, And Kazi Barnes, same way up in North Carolina for a powerhouse school, all of a sudden you started watching his film and it was just like, well, he was good, but now he's really good. That's why Miami snuck in there and tried to get him. So I think Barnes was a really good early evaluation relationship thing. And he's ready to get in there and play too. So those are kind of your two corners that are going to fight for a backup role. And that's the thing here is that they're perfectly comfortable with these freshmen right now. We'll go through preseason and see how it shakes out. There's also second-year guy DeMarcus Leach, and they really like him too from Abbeville. He got a cup of coffee on the field last year. I've always liked him. You give me all the small-town South Carolina guys. You can, and just like the others, had his best year, senior year. I believe Abbeville won a state championship with him at quarterback and DB. So those are the guys, those three guys you kind of focus on. Two of them are freshmen. And then the third leg of the freshman DB class. Now, KJ Johnson's here from Birmingham, Alabama, and he came in late. So I'm not discounting him, but the conversation has been about the three that were in the spring. Is of course Jazavian Currents, who I mentioned earlier from South Point. Now there's going to be a battle, and I don't know. It's a lost cause for me to sit here and predict a true freshman will start the first game because sometimes coaches don't like to do that. Dylan Stewart did not start against Old Dominion. JT Gear did. Gear did, and Kyle Kennard. But by God, he was in there, right? And the rest is history. He started the next week. The rest is history. But sometimes it doesn't happen. David Busey is the projected starter right now. And look, David may hold on to it. I'm not discounting him. He's a good player, very physical, knows where to go. He's in his third year. He's been a special teams demon. But Currents, you hear the buzz around the program, and you heard it in the spring. And he's such a good football player. And he's a great prospect, 6'4", 210, runs well. But sometimes you'll get a guy that's like got all the measurables, but you got to kind of coach him up into being a great football player. Kelvin Millington in this class, 2027, is like that, I think. A 6'4" guy, runs, jumps, whatever. Football player wise, it's development. And that's, 80% of your incoming freshmen. 85, some classes, 90, 93, 94, right? They play special teams or whatever. And then the 5-year rule is going to allow these guys to develop faster because you can play them on special teams and things like that and not burn their shirt, red shirt. But Currents, at one of those safety spots, I don't think Peyton Williams is going to get beat out. In fact, I think he's distanced himself from whoever's battling for his position. But that other spot, I could see. I think it's almost a common belief Currents will end up starting there with fans and everybody else. But and fans, and we all on the outside tend to just gravitate toward the new automatically. It doesn't always work out that way. There's an example of that I'm going to get to here in a second. But Currents, I'm very I don't like to use the word excited. Excited's a very like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm excited to get the season started. But watching Jazavian Currents, I don't know that excited is the word I need to use. I just sounded like Bill Pullman at Independence Day. Excited, exciting. But Currents, I'm very much looking forward to how he looks on in a college football uniform and on the field. Like how is he going to play and react? Because there's a lot to like about that guy. I don't know that as a recruit. I think if he was a recruit that decided on signing day, people would have been bananas about his announcement. But he committed early, stayed committed, took a couple of visits to other schools with his team for camps, but other school, I think Florida State, Ohio State gave it a go. But I mean, he's a Gamecock. So this is one to keep an eye on back there. And there's another reason why, people talking about this freshman DB class, because he came in and was advanced and competed. And what I heard, all three of these guys are pretty fearless. So that's kind of the crux of it. The reason why they're internally, maybe there's not a, oh my God, we got to wrap Picari and Judge and bubble tape and, all that good stuff. It's because they're comfortable with these guys. Now, they have to all have good preseason camps and they are freshmen. And let's not go giving them a nickname or anything like that. But I do think that maybe I had overstated it a little bit. That was this huge concern. I didn't even mention Jalewis Solomon, who knows what you'll get out of him once he's healthy. But the freshmen are the difference. Sometimes, and in the secondary, South Carolina staff will do this. Sometimes they're just comfortable with the freshmen and they just go with it. Torian Gray's just like, okay, well, I'll just get these freshmen ready. Carolina is not very portal intensive on the back end of the defense. They just aren't. One guy they did get out of the portal, though, Quasheed Scott. And this is my example, and I'll close with this of, sometimes we all want the new guy to come in, especially in the portal era, and do whatever, because you get excited when you get him or whatever. But Gerald Kilgore, who slid to nickel, is giving him a run for his money. Gerald's also one of the big leaders of the football team. And he's also a guy that he's a lot like, gosh, I had a comparison. He's a lot like Peyton Williams in the sense that, he's had some moments. It's not like he's gotten out there and, played some snaps and then you didn't hear much from him. I mean, look at the Kentucky game, and he had a heck of an interception at Missouri. But kind of like Vakari Swain and the big time punt returns, it just kind of went away. And then he didn't play. They had DQ and Peyton out there most of the time. He didn't play as much, and he's been a player on special teams for 2 years. He's taken over his brother's position, I think, skill set wise. Gerald makes sense at nickel. He's a willing tackler. Is he his brother? I don't know. He has some times where he looks like Jalen, times where he looks like Gerald. But he's a smart guy. He's a really good athlete. It's not like he's out there just like, Mr. Limited that just knows all the plays. And he and Quasheed Scott are in a battle for that spot. And I think I have Gerald as my prediction to start right now. Could change, obviously. But and then Jaquel Holman's there too, second year guy. Again, special teams guy last year. Saw some action from Blackville Hill to high school, another small town South Carolina kid. That's crazy. Secondary, how many small town South Carolina guys have been in the secondary through the years at Carolina and starred? Because I met, Goodman's from Greenville. He's from Taylor's. That's suburban South Carolina. Brown, Sheldon Brown was from Louisville, small town South Carolina guy. Lots of them from Rock Hill, though. Maybe, Rock Hill's kind of suburban as well. So maybe it's not applicable to just to small towns, but you got a lot of guys back there that definitely are fit that mold. And then at safety, at the you got Kendall Daniels Jr. and guys like that, but that you still got to keep an eye on. I think that I think there's a lot of possibilities back there when you start talking about second and third team. But the crux of this is the young defensive backs all look like, for now, that they have hit. And the interesting thing to me about this roster right now, overall, and I'll close with this, is, you do have a lot of older players in the starting lineup. They went older. But the other good part of it is you have a lot of freshmen that are going to play, which means you've recruited pretty well. And a lot of good teams have that. You have teams that win championships, and yeah, they're old. By and large, they're older. By and large, they've got veteran players. By and large, they're experienced. But they'll sprinkle in, if they're recruiting well, they'll sprinkle in some freshmen that are critical players. And that's the best case scenario for freshmen, because I think that when you got a lot of older dudes, leadership, all that good stuff, which you hope the Gamecocks have this year, you're not like, as a team, you're not young. So the young player can kind of thrive in the veteran environment. And I like that. I just noticed how red my nose is on this thing. I need to adjust the color because my nose is not red, but it looks there. Just call me Rudolph Sherbert. How about that? But yeah, so I think that's a super positive sign. Guys like Julian Walker at edge, Currents, who I mentioned, Barnes and Lewis at corner, lots on defense. Offensively, can Sequel Patterson get in there? I mean, Sequel's really good. He may just be better than some of the guys that are there. That kind of thing. Caden Ramsey at tight end. I don't know if he'll play or not. But, oh, Darius Gray on the offensive line. And that's a good thing. Obviously, we all watched a lot of Alabama football during the Saban era, and I'm in no way comparing this roster to that. So don't get excited. The Clemson guy that lives in his basement that documents everything JB and I say to throw what we get wrong back in our face, which is fine. That's fair. I wish I had the kind of time to do that, right? But he'll probably write this down that I compared it to Alabama. I didn't. But you did look at kind of a lot of those teams, and you did see a lot of true freshmen out there playing. And so the reason I say that is it's not necessarily an indictment on your program if a true freshman gets in there and plays significant snaps. As long as you aren't, I mean, like the 2016 offense, right? I talked about that the other day. Freshman quarterback, freshman top receiver. They were freshmen behind Hayden Hurst at tight end. Debo Samuel hadn't played a whole lot. That was tough. That was a tough situation. True freshman. Probably one of the youngest groups of skill guys Carolina's ever had. That's why it was such a really good thing. They got to a bowl that year. That was an overachieving team that year. But it was young. And so in moments where they were overwhelmed on the line of scrimmage, like Clemson and Florida, they got beat pretty bad. And you could see it, deer in headlights kind of look. This is different. You got a freshman out there, but he's surrounded by older guys. He's practicing with the older guys and all that. They can get out there and be as good as they can be, which won't be perfect, but as good as they can be. So encouraging there with the depth in the secondary. All right. Don't forget Inside the Gamecocks coming up at 10. Don't forget about thebigspur.com if you love high school sports. I have a high school site now, fourquarterfriday.com. Lots of good stuff. Rob Williams' column, it doesn't require a membership today. He wrote about transfers in high school basketball in our state. Very eye-opening. Talked about some of the reasons for it and all that. And then, we talked about a football transfer yesterday, left and went out of state. So the transfer era in high school sports is here. I don't know how I feel about that, but we don't have time here on Coffee to get into that. All right, folks, again, 39 days from kickoff. This has been JC Sherbert's Coffee. I'm out. Holla.